to go to my message to you today. And my scripture reading is in 2 Corinthians 9. And let's go to verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattereth abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each one that has made their way to your house of worship. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this service. We ask your blessings on each one here, on the families that are represented here. And Heavenly Father, the ones that are listening to us through way of the internet, Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless them. And we ask, Lord, that the sowing that they do reap many, many fold. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this service and the thoughts that will be expressed and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. I'd like to go to verse 6 of my scripture reading. And we read, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Could anything be more clearer? We're going to reap what we sow. And we can take that from many aspects. We can take it in a natural way of a farmer going out and sowing his seed for his crops. Or we can take it spiritually. And we want to consider it all as we read these verses in the Bible and think about the aspects of sowing and reaping. Paul, in these verses, in this letter that he's writing to the church at Corinth, he's commending in these verses. This is what this is all about. Paul is commending the brothers and sisters at Corinth for their generous offerings to the poor saints at that time, was in dire need of many things, the poor saints at Jerusalem. And so these brothers and sisters at Corinth heard about their condition and decided to do something about it. And we're not talking about them sending tithes. That's not what this is about. This is about hearing of someone's need and deciding that you're going to do something about it. That God would have you not to just let it go in one ear and out the other, but He would have you to respond to what you see is going on about you. And so these brothers and sisters at Corinth got together, decided they were going to help the poor saints at Jerusalem. And so they gathered together a very generous contribution, which was to be carried to Jerusalem and distributed to those saints there, the brothers and sisters there. Paul reminds us in these verses of the basic laws, agricultural laws, and so much of the Bible involves that. Farming, ranching. Paul reminds us of the basic laws of sowing and reaping. If a generous harvest is desired, if you want a lot of fruit, if you want a lot of wheat, if you want a lot of corn, cotton, soybeans, are you just going to let spring come and you just stay in your house, pray to God and hope that it comes, go out to the fields, check it every other week or so and see if anything's coming up? I don't think so. If we expect a generous harvest, and that is what is desired, then the planter has to sow seed accordingly. If you want a bountiful harvest, you've got to sow seed bountifully and doing God's work. And reaping fruit to God from your work and efforts is the same kind of thing. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we don't ever talk to someone about God, be willing to share when we have opportunity, when we see people are in need and they come to us and they speak certain words and it's obvious that we could say a little something to help them, but we just choose to not do that. Are we ashamed of our faith in God? Are we embarrassed that we don't know any more about God's Word than what we do to open our mouth and try to help the person? God brings these people to each of us for a reason. It's not haphazard. Those people are brought into our life. We are exposed to them for a reason. And that reason is God's. Are we going to let God down? Are we going to let the person down? We're going to let both of them down if we choose to just not say anything, not encourage, not be able to remember scriptures within God's Word that would be helpful to that particular person in that particular situation. Did you not know? Do you not know that in order to be able to help others, you've got to know the Word of God? You've got to know the things that would be helpful in different situations in order to help that person. We have to know God's Word. And God's Word is full of instructions that would be helpful to people in different situations. What about Joseph and how he had to persevere and what God's plan was through his life? Could not that not be helpful to another person going through a certain time of need? What about Job and the things he went through with his family and his children and his success seemingly being taken away, but actually not? What about the protective hedge that God put about Job's life and how you could let a person know, if you will accept God and Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have a hedge too? God did it for Job. Why would He not do it for you? If you devote yourself to Him, if you're sincere toward Him, if you are dedicated to God and to His work, why would He, as your loving Father, and you as His child, why would He do something for some other of His children and not do that for you? If it's not happening, then we need to be asking ourselves, why? Why is God not treating me like He did one of His other children? God is no respecter of persons. Is that not true? God loves all of us alike. Just as we, as moms and dads, show no partiality, no difference in our children, that's exactly how God wants us to look at Him. Doing God's work does have a relationship to this sowing and reaping of a natural sense. In a spiritual sense, it does have a correlation. We need to work in God's fields. God wants a bountiful harvest. He makes it clear. There's places that Jesus says, and God lets us know, that the fields are white with harvest. They're ready to be reaped. And it doesn't get there without effort. It doesn't get there without workers and sowing and setting the right foundation. The foundation for reaping a harvest is sowing the seed. And sowing the seed bountifully. I'd like to go to 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And we want to think about this sowing and reaping. About how we do without measure, without being a skimpy, how it can affect our lives and our service to God. My message to you today is, and I don't want you to forget this, there's other ways to express it, but my message to you today is sowing sparingly. Sowing sparingly. And I want you to take that naturally. And I want you to take it spiritually. 1 Peter 2, 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you had tasted the kindness of the Lord. A newborn child in God is as a babe in Christ and is on the milk of His Word, as this expresses. But God the Father expects us to go further. He expects us to apply ourselves, to sow a more bountiful load of seed in this regard. Go on to the meat of the Word. How can you do this? Except by an added effort. Just as sowing more seed. Let's go to Psalms 1, 1 through 3. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Do you remember we spoke last Sabbath about success? About prospering? And in whatever he does, he prospers. How is that person going to prosper? By not walking in the counsel of the wicked, nor standing in the path of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of scoffers. We heard a little bit about scoffers this morning in our Sabbath lesson, didn't we? In essence, it's the same kind of thing. Scoffers. But what is good? What will yield a bountiful harvest? But the person's delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? It certainly would include His royal law of the Ten Commandments in its absolute fullest, an expansion of all of that. Really, the law of the Lord to me is every bit of this word. Every bit of it. But certainly, and at the top, the royal law of God, the Ten Commandments. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law, he meditates day and night. In His law. Moses was given the law, right? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. It speaks of the law. Does anywhere else in the Bible, does it say Moses' law or the law that God gave Moses to bring down from the mountain would ever be annulled or done away with or reach a point in which we should not respect it and obey it? God expects obedience. God expects us to search and know, and He expects us to obey and do. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law, He meditates. That's spending some time at it. It's not haphazard. It's not a once a week thing. It's not a every Sabbath thing. It's not just when you come to church. In His law, He meditates. Thinks about, considers. Let God speak to you. Let His Holy Spirit enlighten you in His law. He meditates day and night. Day and night. In Bible study is what we're speaking of. In searching out God's Word. searching it out without regard to time, day or night, or minute or hour, but meditating on it, studying on it day and night. Bible study. What about prayer? How much time do we spend in prayer? Prayer is really important. It's communicating with the one who brought you here. The one who created you. He wants communication. He's our Father. He wants to teach us, lead us, guide us, comfort us, protect us. But He wants us to respond to Him, acknowledge Him, and communicate with Him in many ways. Reading His Word, praying, letting Him speak to us, perhaps in visions. You remember, I was thinking about the sheet that was let down from heaven. There's only one notable place that I know of in the Bible that a sheet is used to get across a point. Remember the sheet spoken of when Peter was hungry and he went to the housetop and he, about noontime, and he fell into a trance. As I think the King James Version says. And most would say he had a dream. He had a vision. He went to sleep. He dreamed. His dream was that a sheet came down from heaven. And God was wanting him to get across, wanting him to teach him something. He was wanting to tell him, communicate with him. And he decided to do it in a dream. And yet God used this thing of seemingly dietary laws and the separation of clean and unclean meats for eating or not eating. He seemingly used this to get across a point, and the point had nothing to do with eating. But most people, that's all they see when they read that. Nothing to do with eating. But yet it'll be emphasized in that respect by ones who do not care to follow God's laws of eating clean and abstaining from unclean. God uses many things to communicate with us. And that's what He did with Peter at that time. And not just Peter, but God had a greater plan. He had more fruit out there that needed to be reached. He had more fruit, in essence, for Peter to reap, for Peter to reach also. In our prayers, we need to be just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told His disciples as He was getting ready to die on the cross. He told them, tarry here. Stay here. And I'm going to go a little farther and pray. But tarry here and pray with Me. The disciples could not do that. At that particular time, they let Jesus down. They couldn't tarry with Him. They couldn't pray with Him as He went a little farther to speak to His Father. We need to go a little farther in our prayer life. in our Bible study. We need to meditate day and night. The Holy Spirit is going to remind us of all of those things that we read in our prayer, in our Bible study, and the things that God communicates to us is going to be a lot of them communicated by His Holy Spirit. And we need to put more in order to get more out. We need to put more of God's Word in our hearts and minds in order to get more out, in order to be able to reach more people, in order to have more fruit. It requires us sowing bountifully. And we sow bountifully when we search His Word and read His Word and pray. Let's go to James 4 and verse 2. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. The point is, are we communicating with God? If we want something, are we going about it the way that God would have us to go about it? Are we communicating with us? James says here, some of the time, at least, you don't have because you don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Lets us know the wrong kind of asking. We have to also know that we, as followers of God and as servants of God, just as Jesus Christ came to be a servant, He expects us to be a servant. That means being there for each other. It means helping each other or any of our neighbors when we have opportunity to do so. We're to do that. And as doing so, we need to stand up for God and the truth. We're not going to know the truth if we don't put the truth in. We got to let God and His Holy Spirit lead us into the truth, and then we've got to be willing to stand up, sometimes against the enemy, sometimes with our friends, sometimes with those in need. We have to stand up and then let the truth come out. In other words, we have to be bountiful in our witnessing to God. Let's go to Psalms 126. And verse 5. Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What does that remind you of? Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. We might be downcast today, and we might not feel like doing whatever it is we've got to do, but God wants us to do it, and He expects us to do it. Over and above what our feelings may tell us. And we know that God is going to recognize this, and He's going to give the harvest. And that one that is weeping today is going to be joyful and shouting tomorrow, because God is going to bless that person that does not have that prideful attitude that we studied about this morning when we read about Naaman coming to be healed of leprosy by the prophet. And I think it was Elisha, was that right? Okay. We need to be the right witness for God. We need to stand up. We need to not be ashamed, not hesitant. We also need to know that God's going to return all of the planting, all of the sowing of seed. God's going to return that in a measure to us that's going to be hard for us to be able to contain it. A great harvest and successful living requires generous work and seed sowing. How can we reap abundantly if we have not sown abundantly? We sow abundantly and trust God in expectation of an abundant harvest. We need to be a generous giver, and in every respect, naturally, spiritually, with our material goods, how God blesses us by giving us what He does. We need to be a generous giver because God is a generous giver. Do you not agree with that? God loves a cheerful giver. It says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. God loves a cheerful giver, not because God needs what you have, or that God is being enriched by what you have, but because by being a generous giver, God sees you as reacting the same way He does. He sees you as becoming more like Him. He sees you becoming more righteous, more godly, as you have less of that selfish attitude, as you sow your seed in faith that God will give a bountiful harvest in every aspect. A spiritual change in heart, attitude, and mind. And in closing, and in wanting to make the point, additionally, of how God is a generous giver, surely you believe that. If you don't, we're going to enforce it so you don't leave here without any doubt in your mind. God is a generous giver. Let's go to Malachi 3 and verse 10. And let's see what God says here to us. Malachi 3 and 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Do you get it? We're going to reap however we sow. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. I'd like to go to Luke 11 and verse 42. A lot of people want to ignore these scriptures of God having a storehouse and God expecting tithes to be brought in to His storehouse to carry on His work in the different aspects that it is carried on. A lot of people want to overlook that the New Testament does not say anything about paying tithes except however you feel, however you are led to pay. That it can just be however generous you feel that day. In Luke 11 and 42, "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God." Boy, disregard justice, fairness, being righteous with your dealing with others, and loving God. And pay close attention to the very last of this. "But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." Could you go to the King James Version on that, David? "But woe to you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." How could that be any more clear? God expects us to remember Him in every regard. But how God blesses us, we are to think of Him and return to Him a portion of that that He has blessed us. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to be more like Him. He wants us to be less materialistic, less selfish, and bearing the fruit that we can expect to bear with His blessings as we sow abundantly. And remember, as you sow, you'll reap. Sowing sparingly, you will reap sparingly.